Goedemorgen en alle kijkers, jong en oud, van harte welkom bij Hour of Power. 2000 jaar geleden liep Jezus op deze aardbol en hij zei, ik ben met je. En dat zegt hij nog steeds en die woorden hebben niets aan kracht ingeboet. En wat dat in mensenlevens betekent, hoor je in deze uitzending van Hour of Power. Onder andere van Jim Penner, die daarover spreekt in de toespraak aan het einde van deze uitzending. En we praten met Anita Keizer, die heel lang zocht naar het feit van, ja, is God nou met me of is die het niet? Aan een ziekte leed waardoor ze haar haren jarenlang heeft uitgetrokken. En ze vertelt in deze uitzending wat er met haar gebeurd is. En natuurlijk veel muziek. Het koor zingt onder andere dat prachtige lied over de schepselen van deze wereld, dat ze allemaal door God gemaakt zijn. Nou, ik hoop op een hele fijne uitzending voor iedereen die kijkt.
Join us today for the best hour on television. The Hour of Power from the Crystal Cathedral. Sunday mornings.
Yes, we do.
To feel the presence of others when we thank Him and praise Him. So turn around, shake hands with somebody close to you, give them our blessing. God loves you, and so do I.
This is the day the Lord has made. This is the day the Lord has given us, as every day, goodness and mercy. Will you lead us in an opening prayer, Dad?
Yes. Lord, our prayer today is two words, thank you. Mm. There has to be a Sunday. There has to be a church. There has to be a place every 7 days where we can come to say thank you. For we have been spared from problems and injuries. We don't even know about them. You have blessed us a million ways that we don't know. So we just have to come and say thank you, thank you, thank you. And now, as these moments unfold and this hour envelops us, may we sense that the quietness here is the presence of God. Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
people said it.
Wow.
Thank you, Don. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Well, we have all joined together as a church, and I couldn't be more proud of what you guys have done. You know that we wanted to do three houses for three families in Ensenada, Mexico. And we did it last weekend. Our team of 48 brought the houses down there, and we have video for you. So let's roll the Jumbotron so we can see what God did through you.
It's time to show up, right?
I saw a five-year-old hammering a nail on a staircase. Doesn't matter how old you are, you can drive a nail.
So don't restrict yourself, because God is not restricting you. We are building a church of missions a church of go and sow the way that God has commanded us to do.
We're going to Mexico.
Mexico.
We are shaking up the community and the world for Jesus Christ. If you contributed in any way to helping this dream become a reality, if you helped contribute in offerings and contributions, in beans, giving beans and rice or beds, whatever, maybe you contributed in time, maybe you contributed with your hands, you were here for the pre-build, maybe you went on the team to deliver the houses, will you stand so we can thank you, thank you, thank you. Please stand wherever you are right now. Look at this. Thank you. Thank you. And I've asked Monty Fitzgerald and his son Mark and daughter Megan, if you guys can make your way on up right now. They were on the team that delivered the houses. In fact, Monty helped drive one of the trucks. So Mark, thank you. Megan, thank you. Monty, you're my heroes, you guys. Thank you for what you did. Tell me, Megan, why did you go?
I think my first reason for going was I started getting fearful and getting scared of the unknown, and I know that's when God's calling me to a different level in life. So when I started feeling that, I'm like, nope, I need to go. I need to go. And going was just an amazing trip. I thought we'd go and help build a house. We did that. But you get bonds with people, whether they're from the church or those in Mexico, and you see the family that we built the house for. The man who was going to live there, he didn't have a hammer when we got there.
Wow.
And he wanted help. And so I handed him my hammer the whole day. You just seen him glowing, just so excited and proud to be a part of the house that he was going to live in.
Wow.
So that was neat.
Wow. Monty? I had tears in my eyes as I saw you and the other two trucks drive off early that Friday morning. So how was it for you? What was the whole experience like for you, Monte?
Well, the whole experience was awesome. You know, God works awesome.
Yeah.
From the pre-bill, I had the youth to the seniors.
Yeah.
You know, helping out there. Everybody was helping.
Yeah.
And to the finish, you know, the pre-bill is just the most important. Just as important as building the houses in Mexico.
What did this do for you, this whole experience?
It was, in an overall, a soul rejuvenation.
Wow.
And God showed possibility living and thinking throughout the whole trip. Starting with first, as we were stabilizing and getting things level for the foundation, using rocks to give some height. And so that was a message from God saying, build your house upon a rock.
Wow.
And then as we were laying the foundation, he was saying, in, like it says in Ephesians 2:20, to have a solid foundation, and
that's right.
Christ is your chief cornerstone.
Oh, that's right.
So, and then third was when I was on the second floor holding up a small little A-frame wall, so it wouldn't fall down while the other walls was getting put up. Mm-hmm. I was looking through a window, and it reminded me of Dr. Schiller's message, window people or mirror people. And right then, God was saying, you're being a window person.
Yes.
And you are looking to the hurts and needs of others.
That's right.
And not just seeing yourself. And so walked away with more than I feel we gave in this experience. Mm-hmm. And that was surely a blessing.
Wow. Would you guys go again?
Definitely.
Yes. Yes. As soon as possible.
Well, thank you to all of you who helped, and thank you so much. God bless you, Mark. God bless you, Megan. Monty, my hero. Thank you.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Mijn gast vanmorgen is Anita Keizer. Ze komt uit Musselkanaal in het hoge noorden, Groningen. En Anita werd geboren met een gaatje in haar hart. En dat dat enorme consequenties zou hebben, werd door de familie en uiteraard door de kleine Anita niet beseft. Een van de symptomen was dat ze haar haar begon uit te trekken. Ik heb hier een foto. Hoe oud ben je hier?
Ik was hier 9 maanden ongeveer, Jan. En door onrust in mijn lichaampje denk ik dat ik met haartrekken ben begonnen. Het is dwangmatig haartrekken. En met een moeilijk woord heet dat trichotillomanie. En het schijnt dat in Nederland wel 2-5% van de bevolking hier last van heeft. En dan, ja, over het algemeen zijn dat vrouwen die dat doen.
Ik zie je hier als babytje liggen met je armpjes, beide stijf in het gips.
Waarom was dat? Ja, klopt. Om van mijn haartrekken weer af te komen. En dat is ook wel gelukt. Totdat ik 6 jaar was en aan mijn hart geopereerd werd. En dat is voor mij een hele ingrijpende gebeurtenis geweest. En daarna ben ik begonnen met haartrekken. Ik ben begonnen met mijn wimpers eruit te trekken, Jan. Dat heb ik in totaal 37 jaar gedaan. En,
was er niemand die zei van, Anita, we gaan je helpen. Uiteraard zeiden je ouders, doe dit niet. Je vrienden zeiden, doe dit niet. De doktoren zeiden, doe het niet. Maar het was dwangmatig. Je deed het toch iedere keer weer wel.
Ja, ik kon het niet laten, Jan. Ik heb me echt altijd willen verstoppen achter een zonnebril. Ik had altijd een zonnebril op, Jan. Zelfs op bewolkte dagen. Ik had altijd korte gesprekjes met mensen. Ik was altijd bang dat mensen het zouden zien en nou zouden vragen. En het heeft voor mij een enorm minderwaardigheidscomplex in mijn leven opgeleverd. Ja. En wat heb ik al die jaren gedaan? Ik ben eigenlijk nooit mezelf geweest. En ik moet je zeggen, Jan, ik ben al op 8-jarige leeftijd, heb ik eigenlijk al mijn hart aan God gegeven bij het overlijden van een nichtje van me, maar ik ben nooit ter bloei gekomen. En ja, in 2009 heeft God mij zo veranderd doordat ik mijn wimpers weer terug mocht krijgen. En wat ongelooflijk voor mij was, is dat ik na 6 weken alweer wimpers had.
Wat is er gebeurd dan?
Ik zat dus in onze gemeente en ik luisterde naar een preek en die broeder die zei van, ik ben de afgelopen weken teruggegaan naar de plek waar ik God voor het eerst heb aangeroepen. En op dat moment brak mijn hart van binnen. Ik dacht, nou, naar die plek wil ik nooit terug. Want dat was in het ziekenhuis toen ik 6 jaar was, Jan. Als kind maak je dat. Kijk, op zich was ik heel jong, met zo heb ik het heel bewust meegemaakt. En ja, toen is er bij mij een heel proces op gang gekomen van, ja, al die jaren van mijn wimpen getrekt, maar ook allerlei andere heftige zaken in mijn leven.
Je bent toen, want je bent de kijkster van Out of Power, je hebt toen de uitzendingen van Harry Nouwen gezien.
Ja.
Je bent geliefd. Wat heeft het voor jou betekend?
Dat heeft heel veel voor mij betekend. Henry heeft dat zo duidelijk in zijn preken uitgelegd, dat je niet bent wat een ander van je zegt. En dat je ook niet bent wat je hebt. Maar dat je in de basis het geliefde kind van God bent. En daar ben ik heel blij mee.
Hoe weet je het nu zo zeker dat je een geliefd kind van God bent? Wat geeft jou die zekerheid?
God heeft mij eerst van buiten veranderd. En daarna van binnen.
Ja. Komt er dan wat los bij je? Dat je het verdriet van zoveel jaren wat je binnenhoudt, dat dat er ook uitkomt?
Ik heb vorig jaar zoveel verdriet gehad, Jan. Ik heb 5 weken in het ziekenhuis gelegen. En het was hetzelfde ziekenhuis als waar ik ook heb gelegen toen ik 6 jaar was. En wat heel bijzonder was, vond ik dat in al die jaren het hele ziekenhuis is verbouwd. En precies waar ik kwam, was het oude gedeelte waar ik vroeger ook heb gelegen. En ik heb zoveel verdriet daar gehad, Jan, in dat ziekenhuis. Ik heb 5 weken... ben ik zo diep door een dal gegaan. En
waarom lag je daar?
Ik had 2 hele kortdurende psychoses. En nu achteraf zeg ik van, ja, voor mij is het gewoon een soort identiteitscrisis geweest. Van, ja, wie was ik? En wie ben ik? En wie mag ik zijn? En ik ben heel blij, ja, dat God mij eerst van buiten heeft veranderd en daarna van binnen. Toen ik in het ziekenhuis was, toen deed ik mijn Bijbel open en toen las ik Jesaja 43, vers 18. Daar staat dat we het verleden achter ons mogen laten. Dat we dat mogen laten rusten. En dat we mogen proberen om vooruit te kijken. En dat wil ik heel graag doen. Want God wil weer nieuwe dingen met mij doen.
Kom je nu tot bloei?
Ja.
Ja,
zeker. En ik vind het heel fijn om dat hier te vertellen.
Ja, waarom?
Ja, omdat ik weet dat God van mij houdt. En ik denk dat dat het allerbelangrijkste is in iemands leven. En dat je mag leven vanuit die zekerheid. Ja. Ik heb ook vorig jaar het boek gelezen, Crisis. Denk vanuit mogelijkheden. En dat vond ik ook zo'n bijzonder boek, Jan. Dat ik eigenlijk altijd vanuit onmogelijkheden heb gedacht. Ik was altijd heel negatief. En dat ik nu mag leven vanuit mogelijkheden. Dat ik mag weten dat ik een geliefd kind van God ben. Ja, we hebben zoveel zegeningen in ons leven. En
wat is je grootste zegening?
Dat God mijn grote verrasser is geweest. En dat hij mijn grootste vriend is. Ik moet zeggen dat voor mij toch de grootste genezer God is, omdat ik alles aan hem heb verteld, hoe ik mij altijd heb gevoeld. En ik weet zeker dat ik het allerdiepste dal in mijn leven heb gehad en dat ik dat ook achter mij mag laten. Ja, daar ben ik wel heel blij om.
Ja.
En nu vooruitkijken.
Ja.
Ja.
Met vreugde.
Ja.
Hey.
Zeker.
Jij hebt een Bijbeltekst meegenomen.
Ja.
Die wilde je graag voorlezen aan de kijkers van de Oude Power.
Ja, die wil ik heel graag voorlezen. Het is Psalm 139. En het is een liefdesbrief van God voor mij en ook voor jou. Het staat boven, lieve schat. Ik ken jou helemaal. Ik weet wanneer je naar bed gaat en wanneer je wakker wordt. Ik heb zelfs alle haren op je hoofd geteld. Ik kende je al voordat je werd geboren. Zelfs voordat ik de wereld maakte, heb ik jou bedacht. Je bent prachtig. Ik wil je heel veel liefde geven. Ik houd heel veel van je en denk altijd aan jou. Als je mij zoekt, zul je mij ook vinden. Wanneer je verdrietig bent, wil ik je troosten. Als je het moeilijk hebt, zal ik je helpen. Ik wil altijd bij jou zijn. Ik houd net zoveel van jou als van mijn zoon, de Heer Jezus. Hij is voor jou en voor mij gestorven aan het kruis. Als je in hem gelooft, ben ik altijd dicht bij jou. Ik ben jouw vader. Wil jij mijn kind zijn? Je vader, de Heere God.
Nou, mag ik je heel hartelijk danken. Ik geef je graag dit boek mee. Geloof in God die in u gelooft. Geheim van zelfrespect. Dat is een aanleiding van de 10 geboden. Heb je naast de lief als jezelf, is het grootste gebod. Ja. Als je zelf niet lief kan hebben, kun je ook niet van je naaste houden. Ja, dat is een prachtig gebod. Alsjeblieft, Anita.
Ah, dankjewel.
Ik hoop dat je met genoegen zult lezen na het boek Crisis wat je gelezen hebt.
Zeker.
Oké. En wij gaan terug naar een oproep aan al onze kijkers naar de Crystal Cathedral.
Ik hou van je. Dat is de kern van het evangelie. Ik hou van je. Dat is wat elk mens verlangt te horen. God houdt van u en ik ook. Dat is het hart van Hour of Power. Iedere zondag klinkt deze boodschap over de hele wereld. Miljoenen mensen horen datgene waarnaar ze ten diepste verlangen. Je bent geliefd. Juist in deze tijd is het zo belangrijk dat dit gehoord wordt op televisie, ook in Nederland. We hebben uw hulp nodig om dit mogelijk te maken. Zonder financiën geen uitzending en zonder uitzending geen boodschap van geloof, hoop en liefde. Al met een klein bedrag per maand levert u een structurele bijdrage aan onze missie. Hour of Power is volledig afhankelijk van donateurs. Zonder u geen programma. Wilt u donateur worden? Dan ontvangt u van ons dit prachtige welkomstgeschenk. Een bijzonder medaillon met een geweldige waarheid. Ik ben met je. Altijd. Meld u nu aan. Kijk voor meer informatie op www.hourofpower.nl. Of bel 035 538 0588. Dank u wel voor uw steun.
For over 50 years, 52 weeks, every week, His blessing has been on this ministry. Half a century I have, through this ministry, been here for you. Wow! Many of you have been great supporters of this ministry, the Hour of Power, and your gifts have enabled us to bring this positive thinking message of Christ to millions. I humbly admit that this wonderful ministry simply would not be here today without your financial support. Yes, I cannot do this without a lot of financial help. And that's where you come in. So this becomes your ministry. You are ministering to the world. Be a part of this great global community of supporters and believers by becoming a part of this positive thinking weekly ministry. You will enable millions of eyes to see and ears to hear and people to get connected with God. You will receive a beautiful locket necklace that contains the powerful words of Jesus Christ, "I am with you always." God loves you, and so do I.
What was interesting, we went to Mexico. The team that I was on, the family had three little kids. The youngest probably, I'm guessing five, maybe six. And they had all their neighborhood friends showing up to try to help out. And so we laid out the house panels on the ground, and then they would start painting. They would help paint as we were getting the foundation together. Well, when I turned back around to look, one of the little girls, probably 5 or 6 years old, had a paintbrush, and she was painting the bottom of the panel, and as she got that done, she'd crawl up onto what she just painted and just kept going all the way up. She had paint everywhere, head to toe, and a smile to match. She was having a ball. And it got me thinking, because I found this on the internet, and I wish I knew who wrote it, because I'd give them credit. I want to sign up for what I'm about to read you, because every time I read this, I think of that little girl painting that house in Ensenada. The letter says, "To whom it may concern, I hereby officially tender my resignation as an adult. I have decided I would like to accept the responsibilities of a six-year-old again. I want to go to McDonald's and think it's a four-star restaurant. I want to sail sticks across a fresh mud puddle and believe that M&Ms are better than money. I want to lie under a big oak tree and run a lemonade stand on a hot summer day. I want to walk on the beach just to feel the sand between my toes and find the prettiest seashell in all the world. I want to spend my afternoon climbing trees and riding a bicycle just because I can. I want to return to a time when life was simple. I want to believe the world is fair and that everyone is good and honest. I want to believe in the power of smiles and hugs, a kind word, peace, dreams, and limitless imagination. I want to believe anything's possible. Oh, to be six once again." Anybody else signing up? All right. We're doing well this morning. Now, it's not a mystery why Jesus said, "Unless you become as a little child, you won't enter the kingdom of heaven." There is something about being a little child. You understand trust. In some way, you understand trust. And trust in God was at the very heart of a message I gave 2-3 weeks ago on green pastures, when green pastures are a mirage. Trust was at the heart of that message. And trust is at the very heart of also of Psalm 23:6. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Now, when I read these words, and every single time I read these words, one overwhelming thought comes to mind. First, that we serve a God who is not ambiguous in nature at all. God is not ambiguous. God is consistent, and He is faithful to His word. He is consistent and faithful to His word. While us, as human beings, are constantly saying, "Well, I didn't really mean to say it quite like that. That's not what I meant. You know what I mean." We're constantly finding ourselves saying that. God is not that way. God is consistent and He is faithful. In fact, I want to read to you what God says about Himself. In Malachi 3:6, "For I am the Lord, I do not change. I am the Lord, I do not change." In Hebrews 13, Paul says about Christ, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." Since the Bible was written to today, time does not change God. Time does not diminish His authority or His majesty any single bit. Time does not change God. Say that with me. God never changes. Okay. Unless you understand that, Psalm 23:6 is just a bunch of words. You have to understand that God never changes. He's consistent. He is faithfully consistent. So we have Psalm 23:6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, if you understand that God is consistent and that God never changes, there are three powerful words in this verse that you need to write down and stick on your mirror at home and look at them every single day. Every single day. Those three words are surely, shall, and forever. Not the ones you were thinking of. Surely, shall, and forever. Now, why these three words? Because those three words seal a promise. Surely, shall, and forever seal a promise. It does not say, maybe goodness and mercy might follow me all the days of my life, and I could conceivably dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's not what it says. It says, surely, shall, forever. They're a promise. It's the judge with the gavel. Right? Surely, shall, forever. It's a promise. It's not a proposal. Now, the saddest few minutes I ever watched on television, I remember a couple of years ago, a reporter was standing on a street corner. I think it was up in Los Angeles, might have been on Hollywood Boulevard somewhere. And he was asking people what they believed about heaven. And were they going to heaven? Now, a few, very few, said, yes, absolutely. The majority, the vast majority, had answers of, oh, maybe, could be. I don't know, if I got everything right, I guess so. It literally broke my heart. I wanted to jump through the screen. I wanted to scream at the top of my lungs, it says, surely, shall, and forever. It does not say maybe, could be, conceivably. But unless you understand that God is faithful, consistent, and never changes, Psalm 23:6 is just a bunch of words. It's a promise, surely, shall, and forever. But then the questions start to come. But Jim, how do you know that surely, shall, and forever actually mean surely, shall, and forever? And I've gotten that question. I've gotten that question. And every time I get that question, every single time, I go to Matthew 7, verse 7. And I look at the words of Jesus. Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone. And he who knocks, the door will be opened. Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good gifts to those who ask? I love this part about in here, what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Yesterday, my daughter called me. She's going to school, going to college, not too far from here. She was thoroughly frustrated. I could hear it in her voice. She needed to get a spreadsheet done for a class the next day. Dad, can you help me do a spreadsheet? He says, yeah, I've done spreadsheets my whole life. I was a business major in college. So I had a lot of things to do that day, not the least of which is get ready for today. But suddenly when she called, and I heard the distress in her voice, I had nothing more important to do yesterday afternoon than to spend time with her building a spreadsheet. Now, if me, Jim, being a sinful man, know how to give good gifts to my kids, how much more does your Father in heaven know how to give good gifts to those who ask? Because God never changes. He's faithful. Right? Is it sinking in yet? Now, follow me with this. Because you can tie together Psalm 23:6 and Matthew 7:7 very simply in a way that you will never forget it. There's two promises there, one in each section of the Bible. Two promises, one God. Goodness and mercy shall follow me. Why? Because Father God loves to give good gifts. goodness and mercy shall follow me. Why? Because Father God loves to give good gifts. Goodness and mercy will follow me. Why? Now, I'll give you a hint. If you can't say it, you don't believe it. If you can't say it, you don't believe it. There's something about speaking words out loud. When you say them, your ear hears them, they penetrate back into the brain, and suddenly everything changes. Goodness and mercy will follow you because Father God gives good gifts. You can dream dreams because Father God loves to give good gifts. A lot of you have kids here. You know how to give good gifts to your kids. Man, the Lord wants to bless you so far beyond that, it's unbelievable. Goodness and mercy will follow you because Father God loves, hear that word, loves, loves to give good gifts. He loves to. Now, you know what? There's two prayers to ensure that that's going to happen in your life. There's two prayers. Guaranteed. I'll stand here and give you a guarantee. There's two prayers that God will answer to give you goodness and mercy in your life. Guaranteed. And the answer will not be no. And the answer will not be maybe. Two guaranteed yes prayers. Now, the first one, a lot of you already know. You're probably already way ahead of me. That's when you ask Jesus into your life. Lord, come into my life, forgive me, have a relationship with me, be my Savior. The salvation prayer is prayer number one. And if you have not prayed that prayer, pray that prayer, because your world will change. That's prayer number one. The second prayer is guaranteed to bring goodness and mercy into your life every single day of your life. Every single day. Did you say guaranteed? Yes, I did. Guaranteed. Yes, every time. Now, before I tell you what the prayer is, I'm going to give you a couple of examples of people who have prayed this prayer. Dr. Schuller sitting here. Dr. Schuller, for 55 years, has lived with more stress and more pressure that would cripple a normal man. Building a worldwide ministry in the times and era that he did brought pressures that you and I will never, ever understand. He had to make decisions that would scatter the bravest and the strongest. And yet, Dr. Schuller has lived a life of extraordinary grace. Why? Because he prayed the prayer with a guaranteed yes. I grew up in Colorado. I went to a high school called Bear Creek High School. And our chief rival was Columbine High School. Now, Columbine High School made national news, international news, when two student gunmen walked onto the property and started shooting several years ago. One of the students they shot, Rachel Scott, got wounded in the leg and went down. The gunman walked up to her, lifted her head by the hair, and said, "Do you still believe in God?" And Rachel said, "You know that I do." Even as she said those words, she knew she was going to die. And yet, Rachel Scott knew what goodness and mercy were all about. Because Rachel Scott was not an ordinary teenager. Rachel Scott prayed the prayer with a guaranteed yes. Prayed the prayer with a guaranteed yes. Who wants to live a life like I've just described? You can have goodness and mercy that Psalm 23 is talking about. You can have all the goodness and mercy you can handle. It's going to overflow in your life. All you got to do is pray the prayer with a guaranteed yes. And it can happen. The prayer is, "Thy will be done." This is saying, "God, I surrender. I'm tired of thinking everything has to be my way or the highway. This needs to be all about Thy will be done." Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, Jesus, You prayed the prayer with a guaranteed yes. You prayed, "Thy will be done." And as a result, you were crucified on a cross, but you were resurrected victorious that we might have life eternal. Lord, that's the kind of life I want. Doesn't matter what pressure I'm through, I want that resurrection Sunday in my life. I know, I trust that you are Lord. In Jesus' precious name, say yes. Thy will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.
For the benediction, if there's somebody here and there's a hollow spot in your heart and you want God to fill it and you want somebody to pray with you or just hug you, ministers will be here at the front of the church. Sheila's there already. Just come and let us be used by God to give you the blessing you need before you go out. And now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. And may the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may God give you his peace in your going out, in your coming in, in your lying down, in your rising up, until you stand before Jesus. Amen.
En tot zover deze uitzending van Hour of Power. Juli is de vakantiemaand en heel veel van ons verheugen zich op een mooie vakantie. Misschien in augustus. Hour of Power zendt elke week uit. En bijzonder voor de mensen die niet op vakantie kunnen, doordat ze bijvoorbeeld ziek zijn, van harte sterkte toegewenst. En ik hoop dat de wekelijkse uitzendingen in de komende maanden heel veel voor u en voor jou zullen betekenen. Volgende week spreekt de jonge dominee Schuller, Robert Schuller, over het feit dat je het verschil kunt maken als je dat ook echt wil. Robbie Schuller, waarmee we in oktober met meer dan 100 Nederlanders naar Turkije hopen te gaan, in de voetsporen van Paulus. Misschien wil je ook wel mee. En een bijzondere dominee die heel veel te zeggen heeft. Dus vergeet niet volgende week te kijken. Heel hartelijk bedankt en beleef het welzijn. Tot volgende week. Thank you.
Sanders.
Wow.